Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up a little bit later, we're going to talk to Brent Key, the head football coach at Georgia Tech, friend of the show, and we'll get his thoughts on not only the big win against Miami, but where this program is right now. I mean, they're competitive. Mike, they're bowl eligible. And to have a top five win over a team, should I say, that was in the top five, is a big deal for the program as he continues to build at Georgia Tech. And, oh, by the way, we said this. A couple of weeks from now, when we're all enjoying turkey, they're going to be playing the Dogs. And that is a big game.
And the physicality that Tech brings and the discipline, for the most part, that they've shown this year travels. So, again, strong defense. I mean, I thought we'll get into it when we talk to Coach, but their game plan of just running it right at Miami just was great. And great to see that Haynes King can get out there and do the work along with the other guy.
Big shout out to all the Tech fans that showed up. Crowd was great. Into it, and I thought it played a role. We'll talk to Coach about that as well.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Has UGA played their way out of the college football playoff? Find out. But right now, let's talk some dogs. Connor Riley, describe to me what you saw Saturday. And if I'm not a dog fan, right, and I'm just watching this game casually, and I've heard all these things over the years about the Dogs, and I said to somebody, if I told you, hey, you didn't know anything about these two teams, one of them had 5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, you say, well, Georgia dominated. But that's the numbers that Ole Miss put on the board defensively against Georgia.
Georgia straight up, Carl, got their behind whooped on Saturday. And you don't see that happen all that often. I would make the case that not even Alabama does what Ole Miss did to Georgia. I think you're 100% correct in saying the way that it went about. Look, Georgia couldn't run the ball all that well. I know Kirby Smart has said that they found some success there. The running backs had 68 yards on 22 carries. That's not, quite frankly, in my opinion, a very good measure of success there. And when you fall behind in the manner in which Georgia did, where they're down 16-7 at halftime, they're playing catch-up the whole second half, Ole Miss was able to pin their ears back and really attack what has been a beaten-up and now underperforming Georgia offensive line. I'm sure we're going to get into Carson Beck and the struggles there. The wide receivers, once again, did not have a great day. But quite frankly, from getting to see it firsthand in Oxford, Ole Miss went along the lines of scrimmage. Georgia had a sack on the first drive of the game. They didn't have a sack the rest of the game there. They won this game, ironically enough, as you point out, the way that Georgia so often goes about winning games. And I think that's what makes the loss sting all the much more.
And that's one of the things we brought up last week, Connor, is that Ole Miss invested in the trenches. I mean, they invested, period, with their NIL and getting kids in there. And it's rare. We said maybe the LSU-SEC championship game, that's the last time Georgia's looked this bad under Kirby.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the worst loss in terms of margin of victory since that loss to LSU. And while 28-10 was the final score, I don't think it indicates just how thoroughly dominant Ole Miss was on Saturday. The Georgia defense, I thought, played fine for the most part. But, you know, Georgia just putzed around there in the first half. And then in the second half, their first two drives, they get into Ole Miss territory and just find ways to not score points. And there are a number of issues with this Georgia offense right now. I think everything is on the table in terms of criticism and looking for answers and trying to figure out ways to go about doing things. I will note, and I'm sure this is going to come up by fans, by people out there asking, and I've held this belief, and it was at least good to hear Kirby Smart vocalize it. Carson Beck is still Georgia's quarterback. He is still the best option. He still gives them the best chance to win. And so for those expecting a quarterback change or hoping for a quarterback change, I would not anticipate that, as Kirby Smart very much outlined today.
I think that's the right move, too, despite his struggles. Here's the issue. He was never unable to throw the ball and threaten the Rebels down the field. So here's my theory behind this, and you tell me what you think. It's Connor Riley, Dog Nation, joining us here on Dukes and Bill on a Falcon Monday. More Falcons conversation coming up, and you'll hear Coach at 6. Because you don't trust him, because of the turnovers, when you go back the last four games, 3-2, 3-3, you are not allowing him to say, hey, we just need you to cut it loose and throw the ball 50 times this game and get us back into it. So you were conservative without being conservative. Does that make sense, Connor Riley, with what's going on with Carson Beck right now?
I agree with you, Cole. Some of this is, you know, the best way to mitigate an aggressive pass rush, which Ole Miss has, are that quick game. Get the ball out of your hands quickly. Get it to your playmakers in space, a lot of screens. I get that. I understand that. In the first half with what we saw, I think there's an extra level of conservatism where they didn't want Carson putting the ball in harm's way.
Correct.
6 of 10 passing for only 49 yards in that first half. They had a grand total of 70 yards of offense. And I know Kirby said, well, sacks impact that. Cool. I went back and did the math. Ole Miss had 2 sacks in that first half. So if you put those yards back in, Georgia had 86 positive yards of offense. That's still, quite frankly, not very good, especially when you're going on the road and facing a team of that caliber. So I think they were a little bit better in that regard in the second half in terms of pushing the ball downfield a little bit more. Look, the reality is, they are what they are at this point on offense. They only played 4 wide receivers. The tight ends have not, I believe, stepped up to the manner in which we thought they were going to. Trevor Etienne is banged up. They've got to put this game on Carson's shoulders. And I know that was scary against Texas. It was scary against Florida with the turnovers that he had. Georgia still found a way to win those games with Carson being aggressive. And I think this Saturday showed that's how you're going to have to play on Georgia. It could make you uncomfortable, but I'd much rather be uncomfortable and win than protect your quarterback and lose like the Bulldogs did this past Saturday.
I mean, that's just not winning football in the 2024 college landscape we live in. These games are high scoring, and you're right. And we had Danny Cannell on, was on the show Thursday, and he said, Bobo's got to let him cut it loose. So getting back to the other things you mentioned, the offensive line, is this depth any worse or any better than it's been the last couple of years? I know we already talked about the defense and certainly a lack of depth there that we used to see. Is this as good as it's going to be offensively if teams try to take away the run?
You know, in terms of the offensive line, they're just, as Kirby Smart has outlined, and it's not an excuse because Georgia invests more than anyone when it comes to high school recruiting in the offensive line. But they're down to the third option at right guard right now with Tate Ratledge and Micah Morris both dealing with injury. We'll see how they progress this week and what they might be able to give. Ernest Green, their starting left tackle, who I don't think has had the season a lot of people anticipated. We learned today he's been dealing with a shoulder injury, and that very much backs up the way that he has played this far this season. Still, having said that, the offensive line has to play better than in the manner in which they did. They developed depth really well. They have talented guys out there. You know, Jared Wilson could well be the first center taken in this year's draft. Dylan Fairchild is going to hear his name called in the second round or third round of this year's NFL draft. They've still got talent there. It was a combination of, yes, they're dealing with injuries on the offensive line right now, that's making some shuffling happening around. But they also just got their butt kicked and just did not play well enough to win on Saturday. And they're facing another stout defensive front this week in Tennessee. We're going to see how this offensive line meets the challenge because they've certainly come under criticism in the 48 hours since that game.
You know, all these games are different, Connor. But we saw this offense explode the way it did against Alabama early in the season, and it gave a lot of people hope that this is going to be a team that could score 40, 45 points a game. Have we seen the ceiling with this offense? I mean, is there more to it? And should we feel like, okay, heading into the stretch run here, the playoffs, whatever it's going to be, there's room to get better, but will we see it?
I think it's fair to wonder if this is the ceiling of the Georgia offense. Now, they could get Colby Young back. There was obviously the legal news last week that his accuser has asked for the case to be dismissed. We will see how the legal system goes about that. He is still currently suspended from the team. Mm-hmm. They're also missing wide receiver Anthony Evans, who I think brings an ability of speed and explosiveness that this offense is missing right now. And you put those two receivers potentially in the offense for Georgia. I think that's going to open some things up and at least give Carson some more weapons and some ability to throw the football down the field. But I don't think they're going to have either of those guys. We'll see about Anthony Evans as practice goes on this week. And they're going to have to find a way to win with what they have against Tennessee this weekend. If they win and they got a very tough game now on the 29th against Georgia Tech, that game is always going to be tough given how much I think this rivalry means to Brent Key. But they still got two very tough games ahead of them. But if they win those games, in addition to UMass in between, I still believe they're going to be in the college football playoff. But they got to find a way to win both of those.
And on the flip side, as Connor Riley joins us, guys, checking with Connor Riley, K. Connor Riley on Twitter from Dog Nation, the defense and the spacing. Carl and I were talking about it earlier. It seemed like yards after the catch. Did Ole Miss come with some stuff that they just weren't prepared for, just simply not executing? Because it just seemed like the linebackers got picked on, the corners, it just seemed like Ole Miss could get whatever they wanted.
The credit to Lane Kiffin and what his staff was able to scheme up. Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator there at Ole Miss, they just got the better of Glenn Schumann. I think they did a great job of scheming Georgia's linebackers into space. It's not just guys like C.J. Allen and Tamon Mundon who returned to the field that we saw in coverage. Guys like Chaz Chambliss, Jalen Walker, Damon Wilson, guys who, quite frankly, we haven't seen downfield in coverage all that often this season. The credit to Lane Kiffin, they did a great job attacking the middle of the field and trying to put some of Georgia's more inexperienced players, you know, K.J. Bolden, who gave up the touchdown, Janelle Aguero, his second season here in Athens. They just did a great job of scheming things up. And in that regard, I think that Glenn Schumann was the one that got beat more so than necessarily these players themselves.
All right, Connor. We've got big games in front of us. Tennessee's going to be huge. It seems like their quarterback's going to be ready. And we're going to talk more about this throughout the course of the week. Where can people find your stuff?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We had a ton of stuff today, including just a very strange story involving Georgia safety Jake Pope, who was seen celebrating with Ole Miss fans on the field after the game. So make sure to tune in. We got plenty of stuff coming for you guys this week.
And a tease within a tease. We're going to have some of that audio of Kirby basically not mincing words about the players' conduct after the loss.
Connor, great stuff, man. We look forward to talking with you next time.
Yep, thanks, Mike and Carl.
All right, guys.
Yeah, man, he's touching on it, Carl. Don't you feel this is kind of like, with the exception of maybe Ohio, well, everybody, Oregon's dealing with it, I guess, too. Just nobody has the depth to kind of take the injuries the way they used to of the elite teams because of NIL, and guys no longer want to sit around and just transferring out.
But this is why I believe that the playoff's going to be interesting, because there are no dominant teams in college football. The brands are in our heads, and so you believe this is 1995 right, or 2005 or even 5 years ago. It's not the same, and that is why anybody could go in and win. I truly believe that, Mike, and to your point about the depth, God forbid you get some injuries in these first week of the playoffs.
Forget it.
You might be done. Hey, man, we got some guy talk on the way coming up, but when we come back, we got to break down what happened yesterday in New Orleans. We'll do more of that here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. It is Dukes and Bell. Falcon Report's on the way, 5 o'clock. Also, you will hear from a couple of guys after the game yesterday. We already heard from Coach and Caden Ellis, who led the team in tackles. Falcons lose, and it was disappointing simply because this was a game we should have won. And we just left too many points out there. And the missed field goals hurt, but, you know, execution and certainly the penalties hurt. I mean, we had a first and goal at the 5-yard line, and we get two back-to-back penalties. All of a sudden, we're pushed 20 yards back. Instead of it being a touchdown, which I think we punch it in there, it turns into a field goal. You can't do those things on the road. Those mistakes came back to hurt us, Mike.
Everybody's talking about Younghoe Koo, who's been a bit leaky.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, man, look, we've had him on the show like half a dozen times over the years. And back in the day when Matt Bryant was 44 and struggling, they brought in Younghoe Koo, who had tried to get traction out west and eventually got a job here and made the most of it. Kicking is just so wacky. You see guys go through this. We mentioned earlier, you know, Justin Tucker with the Ravens is kind of struggling by his lofty standards. Younghoe Koo is, you know, kind of, you know, just all over the place. Was it Kai Fairburn, the dude for the Texans, missed one that he usually makes last night.
He did. You
know, not to be confused with Kai Forbath, who was a kicker a couple of years ago, who I always thought sounded like he should be in Star Wars, you know, like Kylo Ren's going to beat Kai Forbath on Tatooine. But anyway, I digress. Now, kicking, we were just talking to a bunch of guys on our social media, Carl's put them up, C-Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. There's like this rogues gallery of kickers just kind of floating around, And, you know, you hope you get one off, you know, off the tree or out of the barrel. I mean, the Lions kicker was money. Jake Bates was he hit the game winner last night, and he's been really good after bouncing around and finally sticking with the Lions after coming out of college out of Arkansas. But it's so hard to get. Because some teams, like, remember the Buccaneers famously struggled with kickers for almost a decade. So I'm not saying to cut bait on coup, but almost everybody, almost universally and unanimously says you got to bring in somebody to push him a little bit during the week.
Yeah, and I have no issues with that. You know, I came to that resolution yesterday after watching this debacle, but it was more than just yesterday. It's unfair for us to sit here and say, based on yesterday, Mike said it. It's the number of overall kicks now we're starting to talk about and the percentages. When you start saying, hey, this guy was, you know, in the 90 percentile and now he's in the 70, there's something going on. And that's what we're talking about. 70% of the field goals made this season. It's his worst percentage. 70% is his worst percentage since 2020. It's a problem.
And this is where you start to say, what's up? I mean, and because, by the way, everybody's got a theory on this one. Personal life. How do we? You don't know.
Who knows?
You know, guys go through the yips with this stuff. But to Carl's point.
Well, Coach said yesterday, real quick, Mike, he said he had a bad day. Right? And I think the quote was, shooters shoot and sometimes shooters miss. Okay, I hear you. Well, I mean, but there's 82 games in a basketball season. These are you've got only a certain amount of these games, and they all matter.
And you're indoors, okay? There's never an excuse for a kicker when he's indoors. And now the bar has been raised across the league. Everybody's making 50-plus yarders now. Those are no longer the exception. Those are the rule.
Right.
And the irony, we said earlier, where he's struggling, and in the Tampa Bay win, he missed a 45-yarder. He's missing between 40 and 49. He's 3 of 6 from where he's usually, I mean, like, lights out. And he is 5 of 8, ironically, from the 50-plus. So he's got to straighten that out. I know that a lot of folks are saying, hey, you know, he's missed, you know, what about the extra points? He's been good with extra points. It's just these field goals and indoors, that's 6 points. Okay, one was blocked. You can't put that on Younghoe Koo. That's a special teams miss.
Oh, he was 1 for 4. He missed 3.
Right.
One was blocked.
Right.
He missed 2. 3.
He missed 2. Yeah, but you look at the kicks and you say, man, you cannot in the indoors environment. When it's, see, that's the thing. Coaches and Coach Rob will protect him and say, hey, we didn't lose that game. You did. It's a tight rivalry game. You didn't score a touchdown to the second quarter. You struggled. You finally got things on track with your playmakers. Carl, you talked about the penalties. Games like this come down to everybody executing. So the kicker doesn't get a pass. And I'm sorry. He's paying. By the way, we gave him a contract extension. He's not doing this for free. Let's get real here.
Yeah. No, he's doing well. And
it hit the right upright.
And yesterday, that was disappointing. Now, with that said, get your head right, because I need you Sunday on the road. Now, this game is going to be outdoors.
At altitude, which generally helps kickers.
And who knows with Denver weather. I'm just telling you. All right? He's snowing. Who knows what's going to be going on? Fact of the matter is, we're going to need him to get his head right moving forward. But that was disappointing yesterday. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mike, real quick, I want to follow up on this story because I know there was a lot of people talking about this as to what happened at Kennesaw State.
Right.
The AD has come out and made a follow-up statement about Brian Bohannon. So if you missed it over the weekend, Bohannon started this program, I think it was 2013, has been there. They had a big win this year, their first FBS
Beat
win.
Liberty, right.
And so when you talk about, you know, where the program is headed, I will tell you, I am not that close to it to tell you it's where it needs to be. But the decision to move on from him had people saying, wait a minute, did Brian Bohannon get fired or did he step down? So here's the statement from Milton Overton, who is the athletic director at Kennesaw State, talking about this. He says, over the last 3 years, the results on the football field failed to support our goal of building a competitive SBF program. And therefore, I determined it was time to make leadership change to take the football program in a new direction. I advised Coach, this is the athletic director, of my decision and offered him the opportunity to announce that he had stepped down. At the conclusion of our meeting, it was the AD, understanding that Coach Bohannon had accepted the offer. Well, Mike, he came out on social media and was like, no, this didn't happen.
Yeah, he says, this morning I was informed, this is Brian Bohannon's Twitter page, I was informed directly from AD Overton that he was making a change in leadership. Contrary to what's been reported, I want to be clear, I did not step down from my position as head football coach at Kennesaw State. So basically saying, no, I'm not going to say I stepped. You fired me. You know, you own it. Now, where you're supposed to be along the lines, and I'll just echo your sentiments. I don't know enough about the inner workings of Kennesaw State, about what's going on. I've heard a lot. We have a lot of Kennesaw State fans. Owls fans are disappointed. They like Coach Bohannon, and they feel there was going to be some growing pains. So 11-2-21, they moved to the A-Sun, 5-6, plays an independent 3-6, and then this year 1-8 at the highest level they've ever been as a school.
Which you got to give it some time.
Right. And they also pull off a huge upset win. Yeah. So I don't know what the expectations were. I don't know if there's personality stuff. Anyway, we have a head coach on the show. I think he's done a pretty good job. So, but one thing's get your facts straight if you're the AD, because you didn't say you want to step. No, I'm not stepping down. Well, you're going to fire me.
So this statement is basically saying, we had a conversation and I told him, hey, if you want to say you step down, I'm cool with it. We can run with that. That's what he's saying here. But he also is saying in the first part of this statement, I determined it was time to make a leadership change.
Okay.
That means you fired him.
Right. Because a coach, like a guy like Brian Bohannon, is not going to leave a job halfway through. He's not going to quit midseason. And that's what, in essence, he would be saying. And that's not fair to Brian Bohannon.
No, it's not. All right. We wanted to follow up on that because I know a lot of people were talking about what happened with Brian Bohannon. And again, guys, when you're somewhere, as long as he had been, you don't know the inner workings of what's happening. And I think I think Overton's been there, Mike, since like 2017 or 2018. It's not as if they got a new athletic director. So, long story short, that is what's going on at Kennesaw State. And we just, I know people were asking us, and that's where we're at. But that statement was put out literally about an hour ago.
All right.
From Kennesaw State's athletic director. 404-726-0929. We'll see where that goes and who they might bring in. But again, it's a process. To Mike's point, it's going to take a little while. And if you're feeling like that's not moving in the direction you want, well, what did you expect? 2 wins this year? I don't know. I have no idea what the expectation was.
I don't know what the expectation was. We were up there we had a couple of broadcasts up at Twin Peaks, a pregame, and our Owls fans are excited, but you're right. So they move on, and a guy who's, again, he was tied many years to Paul Johnson as a staffer with Georgia Tech, and then I thought did a nice job. Talk to Irk Russell. Anybody else is going to start something up from ground zero, right?
Yeah, it's hard, man. All right, coming up, we're going to get more into our Falcons. Also, we've got Brent Key on the way. Big win for Georgia Tech.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This weekend, and I think, Mike, these are the kind of wins where everybody's watching, that catapult your program to where we've been talking about it. And by the way, we need Tech to be good. We do. We're in Atlanta. It's in Atlanta. We need Tech to be good. And there's no reason why they can't be consistently in the mix. Now, when you say good, what are we saying? I'm not telling you they're going to win the national championship every other year. But, Mike, there's no reason why you can't string together consecutive years of 8, 10, 11, 12 wins, be potentially in the college football playoff. There's no reason.
And especially now with name, image, likeness, and the ability now, as you'd like to say, NIL now, it's legal for the well-heeled Georgia Tech alum. And we know the Georgia Tech fans love to remind us they're all millionaires, that you can put your money where your mouth is and help out. Look, the thing is about Brent, I think it's you know the program. You know what I mean? Know the landscape, right? Know what's going on around there. He's kind of like the George O'Leary type vibe. It's always physical. It's no nonsense. It's built on bedrock. It's not built on hype or nonsense. It's also, remember, he worked for Nick Saban for a year. He knows what he's doing. And by the way, Haynes King, we gave him a game ball. Gutsy effort. Aaron Filo, I said the other guy. The other guy's Aaron Filo. 5 of 10 for a touchdown. I mean, this dude, the entire Georgia Tech team and the energy and the vibe. We were worried about a noon start and maybe it'd be a little sleepy, but it was Miami that came out, got punched in the mouth, and they have been living dangerously, but great for Georgia Tech. The biggest upset, the signature win, and in his second full season, both years, Brent Key's taking Georgia Tech fans to a bowl game.
Game balls.
This could have been a larger score, by the way. If you didn't see this game, kid took a knee to finish the game.
Slid down, took a knee at the end of the game.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.